Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Sarah Rogers has a simple artist statement. In it, she quotes Henry Miller, who said, "To paint is to love again, and to love is to live life to the fullest. So be it." Her exhibit called Evolution, a Retrospective, opens January 29th in the Ruth Brennan Gallery at the Dahl Art Center in downtown Rapid City. Sarah joins us today from Sundance, Wyoming. Sarah Rogers, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with that rather lovely, I think, artist statement. What does painting have to do with love?
Oh, I think everything. If you have a love affair, you know that feeling. It just makes life worth living all over again. And painting does the same thing for me. It isn't certainly not a daily event. Painting is, but not the love affair part. But when you really do something wonderful, you just feel that way. You feel it's very physical and emotional, and you just feel like, oh, wow. What is this? And it's a wonderful thing.
And how do you make that love last for 30 plus years?
Oh, you just get up in the morning and say, what will I paint today? And then you just go to your studio and do something. Start making some marks. Yeah. Pick up your tool and make some marks.
So I'm in, I think, Hill City, and a few weeks ago, and I walk into an art gallery there down the street from the Alpine restaurant, and the first thing I see when I come in is a wall of your art. I didn't know it was you at the time. I'd never seen your work before, and I just sort of stopped and spent quite a while just looking at your work. Is that a typical reaction that you see people encounter your paintings for the first time and are just feel the need to pause?
Well, I can't say other than what my galleries say, but they say that. Yes, Randy, that's Ware's work and Ben West Gallery in Hill City, where you were, owned by Randy Berger and Janet Emel, and I've been with them for years. They are my only South Dakota gallery, and they've just been amazing to work with. And they tell me that happens, that people come in and just stop. And then they make a beeline for my print bin. Prints
are.
So that's what they tell me, that you're not unusual, but I'm not there a lot. So.
And what other kind of feedback do you get from the gallery owners about people's comments?
Well, from long ago, when I first started painting, I got all kinds of comments like, why didn't you put that in the middle? Or, why is that bear red? Bears aren't red. And that was the beginning. And that doesn't happen so much anymore. People have gotten more used to my work over the years. And my favorite things are when somebody calls or emails or writes me a note and says that they bought a piece X number of years ago at a certain place, and how much they love to live with that piece. Mm. That's really the main reason for painting, is because if you can communicate your feeling about the joy that you feel when you're doing your work, if you can communicate it to them and they feel the same way about owning a piece and living with a piece, that's the best reason to paint.
So in those early years, I'm wondering, when someone said, why is that bear red, or why didn't you do it this way, did you doubt yourself and think, why is that bear red? I should reconsider it.
I think artists always doubt themselves, no matter how long they've been painting. It's you always say, what? Maybe I'm not doing it right. But you just keep on. And sometimes you change. You know, sometimes people can make you rethink things. But really, if you just keep on going, you end up being true to yourself, I think. And I certainly have less doubts than I had in my early career, but I still have doubts. I still have doubts.
And you face those doubts down almost every day or weekly, and how do you do that?
You just keep working. Mm. I think you just keep working. You don't let the doubts take over so that you say, well, I'm not any good, I'll just stop. You just keep working. Get up another day and make another mark.
What's your connection to the Black Hills?
Ah, that's a good question. I actually grew up here. My father was the general manager of the Black Hills Passion Play in Spearfish, South Dakota. And so my childhood was spent between Spearfish in the summers and Florida in the winters, where they had their winter amphitheater for the Passion Play. And it doesn't exist anymore. But that's how I grew up, and that was how I spent half of my life in Spearfish. So when I decided I needed a new home, I was living in New York, and I chose Sundance, which is only 30 miles from Spearfish, because my sister lived here. She and her husband have a ranch here, and that's what drew me to Sundance, and so it's still the Northern Black Hills, and I still live there. I've been here for more than 30 years now.
And you find your subject matter from your surroundings?
I do. Most of the things I paint are native to South Dakota and Wyoming, and my main subject matter are buffaloes and bears, lots of birds, and they're certainly native to the area. We now have black bears back in the Bear Lodge Mountains here in Wyoming. So I imagine there's some in the Black Hills, Northern Black Hills as well.
And very often you will, you know, show or depict or paint these creatures, their facial expressions, their sort of close up, their eyes. You can kind of look at them and they are looking back to you, not necessarily, you know, in a habitat or with a lot of background space. Tell me about that and how that sort of evolved.
That evolved slowly. When I first, 30 years ago, which my show will be able to show you, I painted the full bodies of animals, full buffalo, full horses, full bears. Actually not, the bears started out with faces, and then I went into full bears. But little by little, they kept getting closer and closer and closer. And now, almost always, I paint them right up, right in your face. And I've never been a background person. I don't think I've ever painted a painting in my life that had a background. That's not true. I once painted Devil's Tower and put some trees in it.
So when you started to zoom in, was, you know, the closer to the animal itself and the facial expressions, did you do that consciously, or were you just kind of following, you know, what your brush was doing?
Yes, I think the latter is right. I don't think I did it consciously. Mm-hmm. And some of the time they turn out to be portraits of people I know. And that's not conscious at all. Yeah. There's nothing conscious about that. If I try to do it, I can't. But sometimes, the first one that ever happened to was my cousin Andy. I painted a wolf, and I looked at it, and I said, wait, that's Cousin Andy.
And how did Cousin Andy feel about that? Was he flattered?
I don't think he ever knew.
He didn't know.
Cousin Andy is no longer with us, unfortunately, but I don't think that I ever told him. I don't think I've told most of the people who end up being somebody I know. Right. I don't think I tell them usually.
So I'm going to read something from what the Rapid City Arts Journal put out about you. It says, Sarah portrays recognizable subjects, but they are only vehicles for the greater subject, which is the paint itself. The focus of the show is the artist's handling of color, line, texture, space, the regard for how to move paint across a surface. Tell me how you move paint across a surface that is noticeable enough to where people would put that in the gallery notes.
Well, it's evolved over the years as well. When I first started to paint with watercolor, I painted on paper, and that was really fun because if you paint wet on wet, the paint moves along as long as you have wet edges. And then I started getting more and more thick paint, and I started using things like toothbrushes. And I use a lot of toothbrushes in my painting. And now I'm using palette knives and toothbrushes. So It is. That is my subject, really, is the paint. I think it is for most painters. I mean, if you're a painter, what you love is the paint. And I think that's one of the reasons I choose things I choose to paint. They're kind of big and blobby, like bears and buffaloes and crows and ravens. And you can do all kinds of things with the paint when you have a big surface that you can just mush it around with. And that's what I do. I just mush it around. And sometimes you lift it, and sometimes you add more, and sometimes you scrub it off, and sometimes you brush it off. And it's just so intriguing. And sometimes you draw into it with the butt end of a brush. And there's just so many things you can do.
And it all works out most of the time, and sometimes it doesn't, I bet.
Sometimes it doesn't. Oh, yeah, there are always, that any artist can tell you that. There are definitely failures along the way. And, but you just hope it does.
And let me guess, if you fail, you just go back to and put another mark on the canvas. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right. Sarah Rogers, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to drive out and see that exhibition myself, I think.
Oh, good. I hope you will come. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That is our program for the day. We hope that it served you. I'd like to thank our guests, John Hunter, Kevin Wooster, Jennifer Keith, and Sarah Rogers. As always, thanks to the SDPB crew, Chris Lawfrey, Gina Myrose, and Gary Ellenbolt. On tomorrow's midday, we've got Michael Lansing, author of Insurgent Democracy. We'll explore Songs of Black America with Professor Crystal Sellers' Battle, plus SDPB's Jim Kent takes you to an eagle feather ceremony in Pine Ridge. That's tomorrow's midday. Meet me right here at noon Central, 11 Mountain. For SDPB Radio, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.